Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the ships at sea. Tonight, we're going to have a special edition of Travel Talk Radio. Instead of talking about light things, we'll talk about something somewhat serious. 18 years ago, this morning, there was a horrible attack on the city of New York. I was driving on my way into my office as communications director for the Bergen County Sheriff's Department. It was a clear morning. There was hardly a cloud in the sky. It was sunshine and a beautiful day. Suddenly, a report came on the car radio. I couldn't believe it. An airplane crashed into the World Trade Center. How they could not miss it was just incredible. I thought about 1945, when a B-25 bomber crashed into the Empire State Building in a thick, very thick fog. And without the radar equipment or the navigational equipment that we have today. But that day, 18 years ago, was different because it was a beautifully clear day. Came to the sheriff's department, went inside, and the entire staff was in the conference room with the TV on, watching in horror as the building burned and people jumped from way up, hundreds and hundreds of feet up, and then suddenly a second plane came in and crashed into the South Tower. It was obvious at that point that this was not an accident. It was a planned attack. My heart sank because my niece worked on the 81st floor of the South Tower. The family had no contact with her for more than an hour because communications were down. Her mother and father were in an absolute sheer panic. Turned out, thank God, that she was fine. She went to work late and was crossing the river on a ferry when the second plane hit. The captain of the ferry turned the boat around, went back to the Jersey shore. She was fine. She went to work late and was crossing the river. She was married 2 months later. 10 of her friends were not there because they weren't anymore. They were little more than a memory. At the GW Bridge, the George Washington Bridge, was the gathering point for all emergency services heading into New York. We were about to go in, the sheriff and I, in his car, and we were stopped because there was a report that an ambulance had been stolen, loaded with explosives, and was heading to blow up the bridge. We waited about an hour and a half, and we found out that it was a rumor. There was no truth to it. Thank God. We got into the car, and we led a procession of police vehicles and trucks bringing water and supplies down to the workers at Ground Zero. There was a bus coming with us filled with medical personnel, doctors and nurses. We came off the Washington Bridge onto the West Side Highway, and as we came down, we could see in the distance the smoke coming up from the two buildings where they had come down. They had crashed into a pile of debris. As we came down the highway, people suddenly began jumping off the curbs, holding up signs. God bless you, you're heroes, thank you. Here you have law enforcement personnel, the sheriff, others from our department sitting in the car, literally with tears streaming down our cheeks, thinking about what had happened and what these people were thinking of us. We passed the Javits Center, which is the major convention center in New York City, on the West Side Highway. There were about 30 ambulances lined up there, all backed in, facing out, ready to go. And the thought crossed our minds, why are they sitting there? Why aren't they going? And we found out later the reason they weren't going was because there was no need to. There were no survivors. My brother, who was a doctor at a hospital in Queens, New York, came in with several of his colleagues. They volunteered. Their medical background, their knowledge, they were there to help people. They were told to go home because there were more doctors than there were victims, people who had been injured when the towers came down. We finally reached Ground Zero. And we're standing on a pile of concrete dust. I looked down, and there was a brand-new work boot on the ground. a paper blizzard still coming down as though it was midwinter in the Alps. And there was a smell and odor from the fire. We knew what was burning. It was the human beings who had been crushed and demolished when the two buildings came down. A fireman came running over to give us paper masks, and we later found that they were useless. People who wore them regularly were sick. Many of them died, including Jim Zadroga, who was a New York detective, and the Zadroga bill was named for him. Jim was worked over by the police department, and his wife died. Then he ultimately died of the toxins that he breathed in working over 700 hours on the pile. His 5-year-old daughter walked into their bedroom, found him lying on the floor dead. I worked with Jim's father, Joe Zadroga, at the Bergen County Police Academy. So I knew the family. I knew Joe. I knew Jim. Not very well, but I knew him. And I remember him coming into the academy offices, pushing his young daughter in a stroller with an oxygen tank in the back pouch leading up to his nose. He couldn't go anywhere without the oxygen. Jim was well over 6 feet tall. He had the build of a football player, but he began wasting away because of what he did working on the pile, as it was known. Going back to the area, store windows on the adjacent streets were broken from the blast, and all the clothes and the merchandise in them were in a heavy layer of concrete dust. The concrete on the ground was perhaps 1 to 2 feet thick. Now, today, as has happened every year since the actual attack on 9/11, people would come up and they read the names of those who died, children who were not born, others a little bit older who never met their parents, their father, their mother, aunts, grandparents. It was heartrending to listen to them reading off the names. There was a gentleman named Harris, who was Nicholas Harris Jr., who read a portion of a statement that he had made when it was his turn to read the names. His mother died in the terrorist attack, and he had the courage to criticize Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, a Democrat from Minnesota, during the memorial service. He stood at the podium and read aloud a list of victims who perished in the 2011 attack, including his mother, Frances Harris, who at the time was 76 years old when she died. As he addressed a large crowd gathering to remember those who were lost, Harris wore a shirt reading, "Some people did something," a phrase that Omar came under fire for, very little fire for, and using it to describe the attacks in March when she was speaking at a fundraiser for the Council on American-Islamic Relations, CARE, a so-called Muslim civil rights organization that many people feel fund terrorist organizations. She didn't even have the brass to say Islamic terrorists attacked New York City, attacked the United States, attacked the World Trade Center. She said, "Some people did something." Was she criticized? No. Was she criticized by her own party? No. They passed a resolution that was so watered down, that took in so many things, that was so wide-ranging, it was useless. Let me finish what Mr. Harris said. She finished saying at the CARE convention, "Today I am here to respond to you exactly who did what to whom." Harris said, "Madam, objectively speaking, we know who and what was done. There was no uncertainty about that. Why your confusion? On that day, 19 Islamic terrorist members of Al-Qaeda killed over 3,000 people and caused billions of dollars in economic damage. Is that clear, madam?" "But as to whom," he continued, "I was attacked. Your relatives and friends were attacked. Our constitutional freedoms were attacked. And our nation, founding on Judeo-Christian principles, was attacked. That's what some people did, Harrow said. You got that now? Omar's comments first went viral in April after President Trump tweeted out a video of the Muslim congresswoman speaking at the CARE event and spliced in with footage of 9/11. CARE was founded after 9/11 because they recognized that some people did something, Omar says in the video. In between scenes of the Twin Towers collapsing, we will never forget, the president said. And that has since been viewed by over 11 million times. Some viewers went on to accuse Omar of belittling the tragedy, while others argued her comments were cut and taken out of context in order to be used against her. They were not. Multiple presidential candidates and members of Congress quickly spoke out in defense of Omar, including freshman Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a New York Democrat who slammed Trump's video as an outright dangerous targeting of a member of Congress. These are Harris's comments now. My comment is she should have been slammed. And Ocasio-Cortez, who has become a media whore, who's got something to say, she's on television more often than the Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is. No matter what it is, she'll have something to say, and she rarely has anything good to say about the United States. She also included an excerpt from the poem, First They Came, which posits that the failure of many small groups to fight against the Nazis' persecution of Jews ultimately led to the Holocaust. Well, Madam Ocasio-Cortez, Madam Omar, Madam Presley, and their whole crew of four people, now known as the Squad, are a group of anti-Americans, they're anti-Semites, they're anti-democracy. They get their way, this country will be faced with Sharia law. Following her return to the Capitol after a two-week recess, Omar, who said she received an uptick in death threats due to the president's tweet, slammed Trump's vile attacks during a rally outside the U.S. Capitol, according to a CNN report. The only vile thing here was Omar herself, a vile human being, a vile excuse for a human being. Not all of this is Mr. Harris's comments. I'm interjecting my own. He said, this is not going to be the country, or she said, I'm sorry, this is not going to be the country of the xenophobes. This is not going to be the country of the white people. This is not going to be the country of the few. This is going to be the country of the many. Well, her many is a handful of people who are growing, people who've come here from certain countries who have no use for the United States. They've come here, and instead of melding in, they are trying to change it to the way the country that they fled from is. She was protected by her party. They were afraid to criticize her or the other members of her squad. They passed a resolution that was so watered down, it meant nothing, it was pathetic, it was pitiful. The other thing is, as a journalist, I'm embarrassed by my own profession. I'm embarrassed that there was no report on television about any of what Mr. Harris had to say. That was important. It was the feeling of somebody who lost a parent, who was expressing not only himself, but expressing what millions of other Americans felt. Just learned today that the son of a former editor of mine was a victim, Richard Blood Jr. Dick Blood was a terrific newsman. I haven't seen him in perhaps 20 years, but he was a top-notch professional. I did not know that the tragedy struck him. And that brings it very close to home. Going back to Madam Ilhan Omar, she said she wants to fundamentally change our system. Does that mean putting in Sharia law? We don't know. We don't know. But unless her own party starts to rein her and Presley and Ocasio-Cortez in, and Madam Tlaib, unless they begin to rein them in, these people are going to run rampant through the party, through the Congress, through the United States. And what happened on September 11th will not be the last time that something like this happens. We will be facing constant, frequent threats, frequent attacks. I'm sorry if this doesn't fit in with our normal format for Travel Talk Radio, and I'm going to have this as a shortened program. I've said what I felt. I think that what Mr. Harrow said was important, and I think that the American people should rise up, should write them no threats. Don't threat physical or bodily harm. But the American people have got to let Ilhan Omar, Tlaib, Presley, and Ocasio-Cortez know how the rest of the United States feels, not from their small group of terrorist supporters, but how the average American, Jews, Christians, Muslims, all religions, because it was not just one religion that died when the Twin Towers came down. And the terrorists began to spread the word that Israel was responsible for it, that Israel warned all the Israelis and the Jews and the Twin Towers to get out because of the coming attack. What a libel that was. And there are people who believe that. The same people, like Madam Ilhan Omar and her friends at CARE, who either deny the Holocaust or denigrate it. They minimize the Holocaust. Yeah, some people died. Some people did something. Yep, that was Hitler. And 6 million Jews and 5 million non-Jews were murdered by that regime. And if these people get their way, you're going to be seeing a lot of the same thing all over again. Thank you for listening. This is Bob Nesoff. This was a special edition of Travel Talk Radio. Thank you. God bless you. God bless the United States of America, and God bless all freedom-loving people. Good night.